We would like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn, Le'ilui Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yoshua ben Shimon Dov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. We are starting a new Mishnah, Jealousy, Desire, and Honor, or I've entitled it on the email, Fast Track to Destruction. So we're going to read the Mishnah together, and then we are going to systematically ask questions, something that we have done in the past somewhat haphazardly, but here we want to do it in a little more structured way. So I'm going to model for you the types of questions that we can ask while reading any Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, but particularly this one it's going to be very helpful for. So first we're going to read the Mishnah quickly, and then we're going to slow down and ask systematically types of questions that we can ask on every Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So the Mishnah states as follows, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar Omer. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar stated as follows, HaKina VaTaiva VaKavod. Kina, envy, taiva, lust, kavod, honor, desire for honor. Motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam, take a person out of this world. So we want to structure our types of questions that we're going to ask on any Mishnah in Pirkei Avos on three different levels. The first one I would call the internal big questions. So what sort of questions can we ask that have to do with the general big picture of the Mishnah? So as we think, and maybe your brains are starting to think about this, what sort of things pop into your head? So on a simple level, our first question should just be, what do the words mean? What a kina, what a taiva, what a kavod mean? We can translate them, but what sort of things are they denoting in those concepts? Another thing we can ask, why these three? These three things remove somebody from the world. Do other things remove people from the world? Or is there something special about these three that they remove somebody from the world versus other things? Another question we can ask, are these things always bad? Right? The Mishnah seems to be saying these are really bad things that remove somebody from the world. Can you have a good kina, a good taiva, a good kavod, or are these things that are blanket always bad? And number four is, which world do they take a person out of? Motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. So when we think of olam, we can think of this world, we can think of the next world, maybe you can think of a multiverse or other types of galaxies out there, right? But in our sphere, when we talk about the olam, are we talking about this world, or are we talking about the next world? What does it mean, Motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam? So those are what I would call the internal big questions. Everything within the Mishnah, we're not bringing anything from external sources, everything's within the Mishnah, and we just want to understand the big picture of what the Mishnah is trying to teach us. The second stage of questions, I would call the internal close reading. So we're going to go from a big picture reading to a meticulous reading. And when we start doing this, we want to look for clues that are nuanced. So in this discussion, we might want to pick up on the letter hey that seems to infuse our mission and permeate the Mishnah. Ha-kina, ha-taiva, ha-kavod, which wouldn't be translated as envy, lust, and honor, but the envy, the lust, the honor. Remove ha-adam, the person, from the world. We could have stated this Mishnah without that letter hey, and written, Rebbe Elazar HaKapar Omer, Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, Motzien es Adam min ha'olam. But here the Mishnah seems to be adding this letter hey on numerous fronts and numerous levels. So if we want to do a close reading, we might want to ask ourselves, what is this letter hey in these instances trying to teach us? Why the hey in Hakina? Why the hey in Ha'adam? Why the hey in Ha'olam? The world, ha'olam. Just say motzien es adam min olam. Why ha'olam? And finally, why use the word in terms of word choice and a close read? We want to know, why is this word used versus a different word? Why the word motzien? To be removed from. So to be removed from indicates that I am there and I am being removed. So does that give us a clue? Does that give us a hint as to what type of olam we're talking about, as well as perhaps some level of deeper meaning for what's going on here. Why use the word motzi'in esa adam min olam? You're removed from the world. So those are the questions that I would put in the internal close reading section. So we have the internal big questions, we have the internal close reading, and then the third type of questions are external questions, meaning that they don't necessarily have to do particularly with this Mishnah on its own, but it's once we start looking at this Mishnah in a bigger picture and putting other sources that we may know from other places into the account, into the mixer, now new ideas, new questions come up that aren't internal to the Mishnah, but are external. So what sort of external questions can we ask? So some type of external questions that we usually ask when we do the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos is there a connection between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah? Lots of times we see that commentators will jump off of a previous Mishnah and say that based on the previous Mishnah, we can add insight into this Mishnah. So what's the connection to the previous Mishnah? Another external question, we've seen the Abarbanel does this often, is there a connection to the entire Perek? Is there a theme throughout the chapter that might inform our understanding of this Mishnah? So not just the previous Mishnah, but the entire chapter, is there a running theme? Another external question, this is the type of question that we started focusing on a lot more in the beginning of this year when we started around 3 years ago. We stopped focusing on it, but it's still an important question to ask. Is there a connection between this Mishnah and the person who's stating this idea in the Mishnah? So do we know anything about the character of the person, the historical circumstances of the person that might inform our understanding of what he is saying in this Mishnah? So that's the external about the person. And then finally, do we have a connection to similar Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos? Have we seen similar ideas before throughout our Shirim that when we take this Mishnah through the prism of those Mishnayos, there may be an added understanding or an added depth that we would not have if we just looked at this Mishnah in a vacuum? Okay, so this, and I spelled it out for you explicitly here, but this is a model of asking questions that we can use and that you can use when reading any Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, starting with the internal big picture, the internal close reading, and then the external questions that inform our understanding of the Mishnah. And as we go through these sources in this week's Mishnah, you'll see that the commentaries are implicitly dealing with lots of these questions. They're not going to explicitly state this type of methodology, this type of, you know, systematic types of questions and answers, although some do state in question answer form. We'll see that later. But for the most part, implicit in their commentaries are they're picking up on these ideas, either an internal big question, internal close reading question, or an external question. So let's start off probably with the worst place to start off, but we're going to do it anyway and then back up. So we're going to start off with the last part of this, which is connections to other Mishnayos. The reason why I would say this is the worst place to start is because generally you would want to understand a source on its own before starting to insert other sources that impact the understanding of the source. So you usually want to start with the internal before you go to the external. But we are going to go against that advice and at least start off by framing this within the context of other Mishnayos, because the counterpoint to this is I want to connect it to previous learning that we've done. And by connecting it to previous learning, perhaps that can inform our understanding better of this Mishnah. So for those who printed it, and for those who can see the bottom of my sharing of the source, I'll close that now so you can't cheat. Where have we seen a similar idea before in Pirkei Avos? Where have we seen this concept of either kina taivan kavod or the concept of motzi'in es ha'adam min ha'olam before in Pirkei Avos? And hopefully your brains are working a little bit here. We found it, here's where now I will reveal the sources. We found it in two other places, this concept of motzi'in es ha'adam min ha'olam. One is in Perek 2, Mishnah 11, where Rabbi Yoshua tells us, Ayin hara, the Yetzer hara, the Sinas habrios, an evil eye, the evil inclination, and hatred for mankind, Motzien esa adam mina olam. The same phrase, remove a person from this world, from the world, is used in reference to three other things. Evil eye, evil inclination, and hatred of people, they remove things, people from this world. And then we saw it as well in chapter 3, Mishnah.
What happened with the Hei Idea?
With the same Hei Idea. Okay, excellent. So Rabbi Shlomo, you're pointing out that it's the same Hei. We could ask the same question that we asked on the Hei in that Mishnah as well. It's Ha, 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 Ayin Hara, Ha, Yetzer Hara. Sinas habrios, ha'olam. So the same hey comes up there, great. And then in addition to that, we've had another Mishnah that states, Rabbi Dosa ben Horkinus Omer, this is chapter 3, Mishnah 10, Shena shel shacharis, sleeping in the early morning, or after, meaning late morning, Yayin shel tzaharayim, drinking wine in the afternoon, V'sichas ha'yiladim, talking too much to children, or talking like children, V'yeshivas bate kinesio sha'amei ha'aretz, and sitting and schmoozing, shooting the breeze, as it were, too often, Motzien es ha'adam min ha'olam. Same concept, removes the person from this world. So we've seen two other Mishnayos that use this concept of remove a person from the world. And then now the question becomes, is what's the connection between our Mishnah that uses this same phrase and those two previous Mishnayos? Are they agreeing with each other? Are they disagreeing with each other? Are the previous ones saying, no, this is the way you lose out of the world? And they're, no, that's not the right answer. This is the right answer. This is the way you lose out of the world. Or maybe there's many ways you can lose the world. So we want to keep that in mind. We want to keep these previous Mishnayos in mind as we run through the commentaries and as we might want to understand this Mishnah on our own. How can we connect the ideas that we're learning now to similar ideas that we've learned in the past? And hopefully, again, we could, if this was a more of a classroom style, we can pause here and we can challenge everybody, and I encourage you to do this on your own if your brain works that quickly, to start thinking about how can I connect the ideas in those previous Mishnayos to the ideas in this Mishnah. So we have three ideas in 2.11. We have three ideas in 4.21. Maybe those three ideas can be connected to each other. Right? And how do the ideas in 3.10 impact the ideas here in 4.21? You can start charting it out and thinking about connections. In addition, I want to make explicit what we learned in the previous Mishnah to see if we can connect that as well. What was the last Mishnah that we did? The last Mishnah that we did spoke about not judging others, not judging a book by its cover. Don't look at the kankan, don't look at the externals, but look at what's inside. Perhaps there's a connection between this Mishnah and that Mishnah. That you might have to be a little more creative for, but we want to also be thinking about what the connection between this Mishnah and the next Mishnah is. So we have a ton of questions to be thinking about as we start exploring the commentaries in 4.21 for our Mishnah. So let's start off now that we've at least raised those questions about the external Mishnayos that we want to be thinking about, and now start from the beginning. We haven't answered any questions yet, but start from the beginning. What's the simple explanation, as it were? The when we read the Mishnah, what's it trying to tell us? What's kinah? What's taiva? What's kavod? What is this envy, desire, and honor? And what's the message of the Mishnah? So I think the best source to look at for this is the Rabbeinu Yonah, because he's going to give us a detailed but clear analysis of what these traits are. And what he's also going to do is he's going to become nuanced. He's going to say that there's layers here. When we talk about envy, there's layers of envy. It's not a one-size-fit-all explanation of what envy is. There's multiple components to it. And the same thing with desire and the same thing with honor. So let's see Rabbeinu Yonah here, and we have an added bonus this week, is that we have the Hebrew and the English. I found the on Safaria.org, which I've mentioned before. I'm not sure if I realized this or I did realize it and I just didn't do it, but they have an English translation of the Rabbeinu Yonah here, so on Pirkei Avos. So for those who want to learn Pirkei Avos on their own and need the English, I recommend that you go to Safaria.org, S-E-F-A-R-I-A, and they have the Mishnayos in Hebrew and English, as well as many of the commentaries, including the Rabbeinu Yonah, translated into English. So here, let's start with kinna. So hakinna, what is envy, or the envy? So he states as follows, Perish, be'inyan hakinna yeshnei dvarim shebehem shnayim shlosha inyanim ve'ein behem leroa lishnayim. So he says there's two things that have two or three components to it, and two of which are not harmful. So he's telling us that there are layers here, so we're going to start becoming nuanced. And he's also saying that there's some types of kinna, some types of envy, that are not harmful. So this blanket statement that the Mishnah said, ha kinna, the jealousy removes somebody from this world, well, maybe there are some good jealousies. Maybe there's some good envies that are out there. And it's not always bad. So let's see what these components are. Haderach ha'echad, mekane betova, v'hu haderach ra. So the first envy is that when, and this is not, there's, again, there's a nuance here, and the way he phrases it is strange here, is that there's, it's good envy, but it's the bad of the good envy. Right? So you'll see what that means in a second. It's the bad of the good envy. The inyan harishona, ki yira chavero tov v'ra be'enov, is that when I see good in other people, and that bothers me. V'kasher osik b'tor v'mitzvos v'holuch b'derach tova mekane bo. So I see people doing good, they're doing Torah, they're doing mitzvos, and I'm envious of them. So there's something positive about that, but the negative part is that I don't want that. Ki hu sone oave Hashem v'osei ritzono amida azos motziaso mina olam v'arag dola b'kinos v'nikra shmo sone Hashem. So this is actually a really bad one, right? Meaning it's envy. I'm envious of good, but I don't want that good to happen. So that's really bad. So I'm seeing people doing good, and I'm like, I don't want that to happen. So that's a pretty bad envy, and that's motzina sa'adim in ha'olam. The inyon hasheni, the second part here, lo yera ba'anav mitzad kisone derech osek b'torah. So here's somebody, and this is a bad envy. This is a bad envy. I think I was overly confusing before by calling it I forgot exactly how I phrased it. But these are bad envies. These are bad envies. The second bad envy, which is not as bad of an envy as the first bad envy, but it's still a bad envy, is that it's not that I don't want people to be good, is I don't want people to be better than me. So when I see people being good, I don't want them to be good because I want to be better than them. Right? So that's also pretty negative. So it's not as bad as the first one. So those are two really bad ones. Now here's the good envies. So before when I said there were good envies, I misspoke. These are the good envies. Those are the two bad envies. Here's a good envy. V'yesh derech tova b'kina. V'macheres tova mimena. Mashamru chazal kina sofrim tar b'chachma. So when I see somebody who's doing good, who's learning, who's smart, and when I see them now, I'm envious. Kayidei sheroa chavero kidoshim chachamim gam hu chafetz lios kemosam. Now that's driving me to try to be smart and to try to learn as much as they are. So I see other people doing good, and I want to do good as well, and that motivates me to do good. So that's envious, But it's functional in the sense that it's motivating me to do good. The two previous ones is I see good, and either I don't want anybody to be good because I hate goodness, right? That's pretty bad. Or I don't want him to be good because I don't want anybody to be better than me. That's also pretty bad. So I want to pull them down. Here, I want to aspire to the goodness, but it's driven by envy. But what's the next level? Ach yoser hishava im below kina chafetz pe'ela. So the best level, though, is to try to want good, not because somebody else has good, that's the envy, but it's to want to be good because I want to be good. Not that I'm looking to somebody else as a marker to look up to and to aspire to. And that's somewhat positive, but the best possible way is that I just want to do it lishma, as we would call it, for the right reasons. I just want to be a good person. Vizos malachas adam. That's the essence of what we're trying to strive for. And he quotes psukim from Shlomo that bring out this point, is that I want to do it because it's the right thing to do, not because I want to copy somebody else. Now, that's all when it comes to goodness. When it comes to money, there's another section here. So first section is when it comes to goodness and learning. I can either want that because it's great and it's awesome and it's amazing. That's the highest level. I could want that because somebody else has that. That's okay. I could not want them to have it because I want to be better than them. That's not so great. And then I cannot want them to have it because I don't want anybody to be good. That's really bad. That's the lowest level. But that's all when it comes to mitzvos and Torah. Now, what about when it comes to money? Envious of possessions, of material wealth. Haderech habeis kinas ha'osher. So ha'inyon harishon is ha shocher ra the kasha be'enav ki yesh osher la'cherim acher she'en lo ve'en lo b'chol eila kizo l'ro ki sone tovas ha'nivraim ve'en rotze b'tikon ha'olam. So one manner of this is that it's hard for me to see that other people are wealthy and that I don't have wealth. And I don't have wealth. It's hard for me to see that. That's level one. Ha'inyan ha'sheni, level two, ha'mekane, we're over here in the English and over here in the Hebrew. Ha'inyan ha'sheni, ha'mekane b'chaveru ha'ashirim, v'kasha be'inav k'shem ha'ashirim imenu. So I have friends who are rich, and it's hard for me to see them rich. Lo misin aso behem uva osram v'yachpots k'shi yithmait. Not that I want them to have less. I just want to have more, right? It's not a comparison. It's not like saying I need to be richer than they are. I just want to have more than I have. So they have more than I have, and I want that. It's not that I want to put them down. I just want to go up. Oev kesef u'mekanebo v'chavet shelo osher gadol v'malcherim yesh ma'aru harbe lo yachosh v'en lezeh kinebo eres k'mo achavet zlisah shemikol b'nei adam. Now the third level, the next level here is that I just want money, and it's irrespective of what other people have, right? So I desire it. But it's not necessarily relevant to they have more, I have less. It's not a game. It's not a comparison. I just want it. And that's what Shlomo says. V'amar al yikana libcha b'chataim, ki yim b'yiras Hashem b'kol ha'yom, per t'chila kina arash lo yikana b'rashayim, bose ha'veros lasos kemosam, v'achar kach kolo v'amar ki yim b'yiras Hashem, kol ha'knos l'mara l'vad kinas ha'yira, she'yikana es maisa Hashem ki nora hu. And that's what Shlomo is referencing here, and he sort of summarizes in a way and says that the summary, it's less of a summary than the details that he just went into, but he's basically framing it as there's really bad jealousy or enviousness, depending on what word you want to use here. They're not necessarily synonymous. But there's really bad ones, and then there's less bad ones. And there's really bad ones when it comes to Torah and mitzvos, and there's really bad ones when it comes to money, And there's not such bad ones when it comes to Torah mitzvos, and there's not such bad ones when it comes to money. But our best options out there are not necessarily to compare ourselves to other people and what they have, but to want and to desire things because either they're good on their own or because it's something that's important for me, but not necessarily as a comparison to others. So that's the nuances and the layers of envy. Yes, Freda.
This last one with the money, where he just wants money because he just wants it, aren't we getting into tava? Yes. Rather than envy?
Correct. Meaning once there's no comparison point, then it might not be envy. It overlaps a little bit more with taiva. It's a good point, and it sort of transitions us into the next one, which is this taiva, this desire. So he writes as follows. What is desire? And are there good desires? Are there bad desires? Are there layers of desires? So he tchila l'kol ha'pu'ulos v'maisim v'gam kodemes l'machshava. So he starts off by saying, and this is the sort of basic psychology, is that desire is the beginning of all actions and everything we do. And he argues here that it even comes before the thought process. So desire is sort of a motivator. Because I desire something, when I want it, I then think about doing it. V'yesh b'chol ha'tayva ra rabba, ein sarach lomar tayvas ha'yetzer ala averos. So there's bad tayvos, bad desires. Obviously, one that motivates us or drives us to do sins. That would be considered negative. Kafilu tayvas mishkav anashim harbe b'moser ra gedola. So when it comes to intimate relations, that can be problematic. Val ze amar shlomo, al titen l'nashim cheleich. Same thing when it comes to eating and drinking. When it goes overboard, those are bad. That can have negative consequences. That there's moderation even for good foods. And when we eat good foods, as the scientists tell us, the nutritionists tell us, that even eating too much of a good thing can be harmful to our health. And that's what it says in the Gemara in Pesachim, Al targal atzmecha le'echol ovzin v'libcha raduf alecha, even if something's kosher, even if something's permitted, even if you say a bracha, even if you have good intentions, if you eat too much of it, it's going to be problematic. It's going to have negative consequences. V'shlosha drachim yesh b'tayva l'roa. So now he starts getting nuanced as well, is that there's three layers to desire. Harishon, hamisavish lo ye osher v'chachma l'shum adam v'shiel lo v'hu avon asher chata. So one, and this sort of overlaps with the envy a little bit, is that I want to have all the wisdom, I want to have all the money, nobody else should have anything, and that's problematic. V'asheni misavel osher v'chachma v'im yesh l'acherim tov hadavar be'enav ach she'elo yoser mehem l'skadal aleihem. The second is that I'm okay with other people having some stuff, but I want more. Gam bezer ra rabba. That's also really bad. Now you notice, and Freda, I assume you're thinking this as well, and perhaps everybody else is that there's a blending here between envy and desire, right? Even in his description of desire, there is an overlap with what other people have. We might not necessarily have described it that way, but that's the direction he's going. V'ashlishi yesh tova ma'at peroso ki yesh l'chavero chachma v'osher mis'avel yos gam hu kimosam. So the third type here is that, and it's on a slightly different level, is that my friends, they have wisdom, they have money, and I want to be like them. V'yitiv adavar be'enav ma'od liyos lem kimo. V'yosef lahem Hashem mimenu ela pamim. V'yivarach osov esem. And I want, and let them have too. Again, there's no comparison. They can have, I can have. V'ena mida zo shlema l'tov b'isavo mitzad ki acherim hem chacham v'nevonim v'ashirim. Again, this isn't the highest level, because I'm still comparison shopping, as it were. The desire here for the knowledge should be because I want to knowledge to serve Hashem, not because somebody else has it. V'la'asos ba'oshar ha'yashar b'nei Hashem, and to have money in order to serve Hashem properly. V'lo mipnei davar acher, not for another reason, because other people have it. Okay, and that, again, there's a pasuk from Tehillim, v'zesh amar David, Hashem negdecha kol ta'avasi, rotzi lomar ki kol ta'aveu mitzad shamayim hi v'lo mikinas adam. Any desire that I have is not in comparison to others, it's just what I want to serve Hashem with. And the same thing when it comes to, he quotes a idea here from Rabbeinu HaKadosh, but we're going to skip that for now. So that's how we understand taiva, desire. You have desire of money, you could have desire of wisdom, you could have desire of things that are illicit, that are not okay. You can have desire for things that are okay, but too much. And all of those are layered and leveled, but they can all be things that take us out of the world. Some more extreme than others, some are more dangerous than others, but there's different levels and layers to desire. And then finally, he goes with kavod. And kavod here, honor, we've seen in a number of Mishnayos before. We've seen the concept of taiva before, even if not explicitly called taiva. It's not the first time we've had talked about desires and self-control. And it's not the first time that we've talked about envious and jealous feelings as well. And it's not the first time we're talking about kavod. So we've seen all these concepts before, which might make us want to ask, why are these three here together? Why does he put these three on this list together? What is it about these three that he thinks is so essential and so important? But when I say him, I don't mean Rabbeinu Yonah per se. I mean the author of the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar Kapar. And here we go. So let's transition here. What does it mean, kavod? V'akavod, kavod hara, hu ha-mischaber al bnei adam lahatil emaso aleim v'nosen chasiso v'eretz chayim. So kavod is that I want to impose my honor on top of others. And if that's what you want, if you want to have power over others, that's going to lead you down a bad path that will have negative consequences for you. And that's why Yechezkel says that the other nations and the other kings actually went down this route, and because they wanted to have power over others, that led them to their destruction. The chena inyan, and that's what we're talking about here. V'yesh kavod sheni harotze ki yechabdeu bnei adam shechoshev ki hu roi lechabed hahu ve'enenu. Now there's another type of kavod. Kavod number one is that I want to have power over others. Kavod number two is that I just want people to honor me. I think I'm deserving of honor, so honor me. Gam kein ki yatamid chacham uval mitzvos v'ritzonu sheyachabdu azos achote ben avsho. So that's not as negative as a sort of a king who's trying to impose his power over other nations, but I just want people to honor me. I'm a smart guy. I'm a good guy. I do mitzvos. Give me some honor. That's also problematic. Ach im kavanaso l'shum shamayim. But there is an element of kavod that might be appropriate. It's not my personal kavod, but if through me other people will be able to honor the Torah, then if my motivation is honest and sincere, then maybe it's appropriate for people to honor and respect me, but it's not me. I have to have the understanding that it's the Torah. Ach. Any other type of kavod, any other type of honor, besides for this properly placed motivation for the honor of Torah and not for self, any other kavod is going to be destructive. V'kama hizira Torah v'asar bahem. And the Torah has spoke about this many, many, many times when it talks about providing a king. The king should make sure that they don't get too haughty and that they shouldn't impose themselves over other people. And that's something that we should all keep in mind, not just the kings, but everybody. And these are things that are motzi'in asa adam min ha'olam. They remove a person from this world. We'll see that in a moment. So this was a rather lengthy source, but the reason why I thought it was important to do is because it introduced the nuances, it introduced layers, and we might not have necessarily layered or put the nuances the same way as Rabbeinu Yonah did, and maybe if we had more time, we can analyze his distinctions between Kina and Taiva a little bit more. There seems to be an overlap between them, but we're gonna set that aside for now, and just keep a focus here on that he's going back to categories that we've seen before, that we're familiar with, and saying that these can have negative ramifications on our lives. What we want to now delve into in even more depth is, what does it mean, right? Okay, they're bad, but there are lots of bad things. Why these are considered so bad, and what is it about them that's motzien asa adam min ha'olam to the point that you think that it's worthy of a Mishnah to frame these three things together and say that it's going to remove you from this world? Okay, so what we want to go now that we've outlined and articulated what these three things are on some level, now we want to go a little bit deeper. What's so special about these three things? So let's start with the Rambam. The Rambam writes as follows, source number 3, also with the English from Sefaria. Yomar, hakina v'taiva v'ahavas hakavod. So the envy, the lust, and the love of honor. Yotziu es ha'adam min ha'olam, v'hu mafsid. These things will remove you from the world, and they're going to destroy you. Why? Ki im ela hamidos o achas mehen. So if I have even one of these three, hefsed hadas behechrech, here's what the Rambam says. These three will remove or destroy my ability to have das, here translated here as faith in the Torah. Perhaps das can just mean my ability to think clearly, my ability to have a good belief or thought system. Velo yusku lo milos sichlios velo milos midos. And I will not be able to have the virtue of thinking and the virtue of character, intellectual virtues and character virtues. So these three share at their core that they will destroy my ability to perfect my thoughts, my thinking, my connection to God through my thoughts, my connection to Torah through my thoughts, my connection to philosophical truths through my thoughts, as well as they will prevent me from inculcating the proper virtuous character that's essential for my being. So the Rambam seems to be describing here is that these three are special and unique in that they tend to remove us from our ability to perfect ourselves. There's something about these three that are so negative that they impact our ability to grow as people. And now, does that mean they remove me from this world, or they remove me from the next world, or perhaps both? Let's see source number 4, Rabbi Yosef Yaivitz. So the Yaivitz says as follows. Rabbi Elazar Kapar Omer, Hakina v'taiva v'akavod. Lefi she'elu advarim, tivo shel adam rodef acharehem. So he's helping us out, he's adding to the story here, and telling us that these three things people run after. So these three things are chosen on purpose. It's not just three random ideas. People have a strong pursuit of these three concepts. So therefore, the author of this Mishnah decided to point them out, decided to highlight them, because what's the common denominator between all three of them is that people tend to run after them. These are sins that people, that the Yetzer Hara, our inclination, is passionate about, and we're very close to sinning with these three concepts. They're very dangerous. It's almost like a warning sign. People have trouble with these three things. Okay? Kemo bito imo achoso, ichmira Torah ba'onsham, kvar hodol ramban. Therefore, why does it say a olam? doesn't distinguish between this world and the next world because lichlol ha'olam hazeh ve'olam haba, to include both this world and the next world. So the Rav Yosef Yaibitz says that we're purposefully ambiguous here. When it says that it removes you from the world, he's saying that we're including, we have an expansive view of what that means, is that it means both this world and the next world. Ha'olam hazeh bateva, this world, how does it impact us? Naturally, having kina, having taiva, desiring kavod, running after kavod, will impact your life negatively and ruin your life in a natural sense, as well as in a religious sense for the next world. So it has both. Hakina, so now he starts developing this. Hakina, as Shlomo says, Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom says in Mishlei, Chai Besaram Lev Marpe V'Rekav Atzamos Kina, that the envy really rots our bones, and that's in this world. And we all know, you can read literature, we all know from our own lives, but we all see it in the news, is that when we're envy brings down people, it causes a lot of issues with people in this world. Marpe Perusha HaMefarshim Kama Marpe Ba'Hashem V'Hu HaLev HaShoket V'Eino Home Acharei HaOsher V'HaKavod V'Yitaken Sherifyono Refuaso V'Amar Shu Chaye Kol Evarav V'Nikru Evarim B'Sarim L'Fi Shehem Mitbiim Mitchalfim V'Amar Charkach, I'll explain this in a second, Shehefcho Shu Rekav Atzamos Kashem Od Yoser Mito Alaso. So when we don't have envy, it's good for us. We have peace of mind. When we do, it's going to destroy our bodies. Lo dai she rekav basarim ela rekav atzamos. It's going to destroy our bones even. It goes really to the core, he says. That's the metaphor here, that it goes to the core of who we are. So the envy hurts us in this world. Vataiva, desire, kvar kasafti b'mishnas mar b'basar mar b'rima. We saw this in a different Mishnah, that when I have too much basar, too much fat, as it were, I eat too much, it increases worms. What does that mean? It increases worms. So the Rav Yosef Yaibitz said there, and he repeats it here. Shatanugim kemo hamelach shemiuto yafev rubo kasha vanimshach achreya mafsed es atzmo. When I eat too much, it's going to destroy my health in the here and now. This is not just a religious problem that's going to cause me to lose the world to come. It's a problem, a physical problem, a natural problem. By following my desires, my life will be shortened, as it were, in this world. And we don't have to elaborate on that. It's so obvious to it. We have the research and we know it from experience that this is what happens. When we don't take care of our health and we follow desires, it's going to impact us negatively in the here and now. Finally, va'kavod. What about when it comes to honor? Ki hasrara koveres ba'alea kemo shochichu miyosef atzadik. When I go after government positions or positions of honor, positions where I have to be imposed, I impose myself over other people, we have a precedent from Yosef that his life was shortened because of his government position. Having a government job kills you, as it says. Right? It makes you die earlier because of maybe the headache. You know, we all know that the, you know, gray hair comes, you have your before and after pictures and all of that from having positions of power. But the point here is that it's in this world. And he says, you usually don't find people who have positions of power living long life, because it naturally has a negative consequence to it. And we're going to go back to this in a second, but I just want to show you that the next source, the Rimi Toledo, source number 5, we'll go back to 4 in a second, says, Kavod harodef achar asura v'rotze shechabdu arbrios listar aleim, somebody who wants to have that position of authority, who motzi es asmo min ha'olam, will remove himself from this world, lefish arbrios sonimoso v'rotzim lehatzmiso. Because people hate you and they're going to try to kill you. Umatzinu b'Yosef shemes eser shanim b'fnei achiv l'fisha hinegatzmo b'rabanos. Right, you're putting yourself in the public eye, and you know people are going to, unless you have a really good secret service, and even then, you know people are going to try to get you. So the Rimi Toledo says that it's a natural problem here. Also, again, not next world, this world problem, because people are going to be going after you. And let's go back to the Rav Yosef Yaibitz. So he says here, once he describes all three of these, and he says that it's a problem in this world, not just the next world. Umatzu shlosh elam motzina sa'adam min ha'olam hazal derach teva. It removes you from this world naturally. But in addition, when you follow these traits, it's going to remove you from the next world too as a punishment from God. This whole world is a preparation for the next world. If you're envious and you have desires and you're looking for kavod, you are not doing what God wants you to do in this world. And therefore the punishment is mida keneged mida. It's a direct consequence. You didn't treat what's important in this world importantly, so you're not going to be able to merit the next world. Because you didn't care about Torah, you didn't care about mitzvos, you let your passions and desires for lust and honor drive you, so you get punished for the next world as well. So he really piles it on here and says, just to summarize this source, and we're actually gonna bring this shir to a close. We'll continue pick up in part two next week. We obviously have a lot more pages to do, but to bring the Yaivitz to summarize is he's saying why these three things. We've seen these ideas before. This is not the first time we've seen them before. So why are you highlighting these three things? Because these three things are really the worst of the worst. These are the three character traits that are going to drive people away, as the Rambam said, from the good path of intellectual perfection as well as character perfection, because their drive, the desire for these is so strong, and most people have them ready to pounce if we're not careful about them. And the dangers and the consequences of all three are really bad. They're bad not only in this world, but they're really bad in the next world as well. So these three are highlighted because of how bad they are and because of how dangerous and tempting they are, that most people struggle with them and have an issue with them. So in truth, there's not really, if you want to look at it this way, a huge chiddush here. It's not really a tremendously novel idea. Everything we've seen and we've read today, we have seen before in other aspects and other concepts. Even the commentators themselves are pushing back and saying, we've seen this here, we've seen this there, we've already talked about this. So if anything, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar's point here is to bring together concepts that we've seen and really give you a highlight reel of what he thinks the worst of the worst are. These are the traits that are going to run us off the path, both in this world and the next world. What we're going to pick up next week with is we're going to start getting a little more, I don't want to say the word complicated, because if you thought today was complicated, then it'll just scare you off for next week. But a little more detailed, right? Building off of everything we've said until now, which is just basically an explanation of what kina, taiva, and kavod are, really what the, you know, going back to the beginning of this year, we basically just focused on the local questions. What do these words mean, right? Are there any nuances here in terms of, are they always bad? No, they're not necessarily always bad. There are some layers to it. Maybe they can be good. Maybe there's good aspects to it. There's bad aspects to it. There's worse aspects to it. But what we want to start doing for next week is taking this information that we have on the basic internal questions, focusing on more of a close reading. We're going to still get to that. What is this? What are these hays doing? Why hakina, hataiva, hakavod, haadam, haolam? And then once we have that, we're then going to be able to be a little bit more creative and a little more fancy by taking the basic ideas that we have and imposing ideas from the outside, the external ideas, connecting it to the previous Mishnayos, connecting it to the rest of the Perek, connecting it to the similar Mishnayos that we've seen in Perek Beis and Perek Gimel. And when once we have now this base of information, we're going to be able to weave other things together that should bring the ideas even more detailed and nuanced, and I believe even more impactful and helpful once we have all these layers to uncover. Okay, so next week we're going to pick up from page 3, source number 6, the Chaste Avos. Then we have a long Medrash Shmuel, which is going to be fascinating. And if we even have time after that, we have a nice Abarbanel who's going to really pull things together in a very creative way. Okay, any questions, thoughts, comments, concerns, complaints?
Thank you, Rabbi Schiffman.
Thank you, Jake.
Instead of complicated, say intricate.
Intricate.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, guys. It's been fun.
Thank you, everybody. Bye.
Thank you. Great class. Bye.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Happy Mother's Day to everyone. Have a nice day. Have a good week.
Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. You too. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. Thank you.